Blog Talk Radio.
Bostic here, a conservative perspective on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. We appear many other places as well, up to and including the Talk America Radio Network, the Internet Conservative Radio Network, WSTR Digital Broadcasting, Talk Radio WDDQ 92.1 WJHC, Talk 107.5 WLBB AM 1330 News Talk. Those terrestrial stations there service the lower Georgia, Northern Florida area. And of course, we do a simulcast on Thursday nights with the good folks over at News Without Filters, the Anderson Media Project. Well, like any good public figure faced with unfortunate news, I'm going to go ahead and get out in front of this. Today, August 1st, 2017 marks my 55th year in this place. And it was on August 1st, 1962, a Tuesday, coincidentally, at about 8:40 or so in the morning when I first saw the light of day. My mother, unconscious since the day before, was informed of my successful arrival the next day. That's how they did it back then. They put them out, boom, had the baby, let her sleep off. We'll give her the kid the next day. One day is not going to make any difference. And apparently, it didn't. So, any happy birthday music ideas you people had, forget. Having said that, came across some stuff today. We're going to talk about those damn Nazis. Now, a lot of people my age, when we get to talking about the damn Nazis, had dads or uncles who fought them, Japanese, Italians, fascist, imperialists, that's all they were. And we hear that term a lot these days, Nazis. And that's what the left and the establishment media and those kind of cats, that's what they call constitutional conservatives. That's what they call us. That's what they call Donald Trump. We had a West Virginia State Camp. Oh, by the way, I got some awesome combat boots for my birthday. We had this scout jamboree here in West Virginia last week. Huge deal. There's close to 70,000 scouts and personnel involved in this whole thing. And of course, the president of the United States came. President Trump was here, and he gave a pretty inspirational talk to the Boy Scouts and you know, reminded them of their responsibilities and pointed out to them that they're going to be the future leaders and how important those responsibilities are. And of course, you know, as soon as he does this, then it's, you know, Hitler addresses Hitler Youth, and they go through all this stuff about the Nazis. Well, quite by accident, it was, or maybe not. I came across an article today in Breitbart by Souza, and an excerpt from his new book. And this book is called The Big Lie, Exposing the Nazi Roots of the American Left. That thought. Okay, I'm back. Had a little trouble. Everything's all right. Relax. And this is, of course, you guys know who Dinesh D'Souza is. He did some groundbreaking work on Barack Obama and got sent to prison for it. I'm just going to go ahead and hit this. And if you stop and think about it, there's nothing here. And I defy anyone listening, to contradict. Now, the notion itself that Adolf Hitler learned anything at all from the Democrat Party here in the United States seems, on the face of it, surprising, if not even incredible. But in reality, Adolf Hitler learned a great deal, and from American progressives, about some of his core policy strategies from them. Moreover, the progressives of that time recognized their influence on Adolf Hitler, and they were proud of that fact. Just stop and think about that. In reality, Hitler learned a great deal from the Democrats and from American progressives. Moreover, there was reciprocity because the progressives of that time recognized their influence on him and were proud of that. Why isn't it mentioned in any history textbooks? How come no one in media ever talks about this? Movies and documentaries about Hitler are notably silent on the topic. And the reason, of course, is that we are victims, all of us, of the big lie. Now, the big lie, as Hitler himself once noted, is a lie so big that it's difficult to get your head around. Now, we're accustomed to small lies. That's why we can detect them. However, this is a lie so big that it doesn't merely conceal connection, this close connection to the right winger, and that his true American descendants are Trump and the Republican Party. Now, some big lies. Even big lies need more than simply gullible people. They also require a powerful cultural institution, academia, Hollywood, and the media. These institutions help sustain them. Progressive Democrats dominate these institutions, which is why they've been able to get away with a big lie like this one. They haven't merely covered their tracks. They have virtually foisted the fascist label onto the political right. The real fascists, however, knew that they were on the political left. Mussolini, the original fascist leader who took power about 10 years before Hitler, was a Marxist who saw fascism as the most effective way to implement socialism. Hitler was so committed to socialism that he changed the name of the German Workers' Party to the National Socialist German Workers' Party. As historian Anthony James Gray points out, all of the original founders of fascism in Germany, in England, and in France were all socialists and leftists. Hitler learned from the Democrat Party and from his fellow leftists here in America. First, credited his plan of Lebensraum, which is German and it means living space, specifically his plan to forcibly seize the land in Russia, Poland, and Eastern Europe and enslave the native inhabitants. He attributed this, he learned it from the Jacksonian Democrats. In a 1928 speech, Hitler noted that Americans in the Jacksonian era had gunned down the millions of Redskins to a few hundred thousand, now keep the modest remnant under observation in a cage. Talking about the reservations. Now, far from thinking this thing was bad, Hitler tended to imitate it. And Norman Rich put it, the United States policy of westward expansion, in the course of which the white man ruthlessly thrust aside the inferior indigenous populations, served as the model for Hitler's entire conception of the Crown. Historian Timothy Snyder, now hang on. Historian Timothy Snyder makes the same point in Bloodlands and says, as Hitler imagined the future, Germany would deal with Slavs much as the North Americans had dealt with Indians. Using a formula developed by Democrats, Hitler sought to drive the Poles, the Russians, and the Slavs from their land, dispatch Germans to take it over, and enslave the conquered peoples that refused to leave. Now, notice that both Rich, Norman Rich, and Timothy Snyder are both progressives. They never mention the term Democrat, but they're content to say that Hitler got his ideas from the white man or from North Americans. It was the Democrat Party under its founder, Andrew Jackson, and then under Jackson's Democratic successors, massacred the Indians and drove them west and presided over the ignominious Trail of Tears. This is the actual precedent that Hitler appealed to in formulating his plans of conquest, dispossession, and enslavement. Democrats. Not early, so I'm still here. I was getting a drink. The second lesson Hitler learned from the Democrats was how to create a racist state. The Nazis believed that they were creating the world's first racist regime, but the truth is the Democrats of the American South, at least on a regional level, had beaten them. Consequently, Hitler and the Nazis derived valuable lessons about how to implement discriminatory laws. It is with the passage of the Nuremberg Law in 1935, historian George Frederickson writes, that Germany became a full-fledged racist regime. American laws were the main precedents for such legislation. Now, while Frederickson, another progressive scholar, blames American laws for inspiring the Nuremberg legislation, what he means specifically is Democrat Party's Jim Crow laws. Let's remember, every segregation law in the South was passed by a Democratic legislator, signed by a Democratic governor, and enforced by Democrat officials. The Nuremberg team carefully studied these laws that were mainly aimed at blacks and used them to formulate their own racist legislation, mainly aimed at Jews. Don't hate me because I'm preaching good. Hitler specifically invoked the anti-miscegenation laws passed mostly by Democratic states as an example of Nazi Germany. In the book Mein Kampf, Hitler writes, the Germanic inhabitant of the American continent, who has remained racially pure and unmixed, rose to be the master of that continent. He will remain the master as long as he doesn't fall victim to the defilement of the blood. He's talking about interracial marriages. Nuremberg, the Nazis sought to preserve Nordic racial purity by outlawing racial intermarriage with Jews in much the same manner that Democrat anti-miscegenation laws outlawed racial intermarriage with blacks. However, the Nazis balked at defining Jews as any one drop of Jewish blood, which would have been in line with the Democrat one drop of Negro blood. If you had one drop of Negro blood in your body, I don't know how white you look, you were a Negro. Incredibly, the Nazis had rejected this. They defined the Jew as someone who has predominant Jewish ancestry, and usually this was defined as having three Jewish grandparents. So, here we have an example of the Nazis actually being nicer guys than the Democrats. Hitler also appealed to the racially exclusionary provisions in U.S. immigration laws, especially the 1924 Immigration Act that had been pushed by American progressives as a model of enlightened eugenic legislation. There is today one state, Hitler wrote, weak beginnings towards a better perception are noticeable. Of course, it's not the German Republic, but it is the American Union. By refusing immigration available to elements in poor health, by completely excluding certain races from naturalization, it professes in slow beginnings a view which is peculiar to the Volkisch state concept and what he's talking about with his vision of the future of Germany. Third, Hitler learned from progressive sterilization laws that had been enacted in America through the influence of activists like Marx Singer, the founder of Planned Parenthood. I have studied with great interest the laws of several American states concerning prevention of reproduction by people whose progeny would in all probability be of no value or be injurious to racial status. Hitler's views, which closely parallel Sanger's, provided the sterilization laws of 1933, which began by targeting imbeciles and the mentally retarded, and later expanded to cover Jews, gypsies, and other social undesirables. While American progressives emphasized forced sterilization, Sanger's preferred remedy, Hitler also implemented euthanasia, carried out by carbon monoxide in gas chambers. These gas chambers were first devised to eliminate the unfit, but later became part of Hitler's final solution for the Jews. Leading American eugenicists were familiar with Hitler's sterilization and euthanasia programs and applauded them. Progressive eugenicist Paul Popenoe, himself an advocate of euthanasia by poison gas, praised Hitler on the front lines of modern eugenics. Harry Laughlin and Charles Davenport's Eugenic News sterilization program, a milestone which marks the control by the most advanced nations of the world, a major aspect of controlling human reproduction. Another example of progressive enthusiasm for Hitler involves Charles Goethe, who was founder of the Eugenics Society of Northern California, who, coming back from a 1934 trip to Germany to examine their sterilization programs, wrote a congratulatory letter to his fellow progressive Eugene Gosney. And Eugene Gosney was the head of the San Diego-based Human Betterment Foundation. How do we do humanity? Well, we're going to kill off a bunch of it. You'll be interested to know, Goethe's letter said, that your work, referring to Eugene Gosney, has played a powerful part in shaping, particularly by the work of the Human Betterment Foundation. I want you, my dear friend, to carry this thought with you for the rest of your life. God, what a wish. Now, Hitler's appetite for conquest, his racism, sterilize and then euthanize his fellow citizens. Those things were inherent in Hitler. They didn't come from American Democrats. But here's the thing. He did, however, learn to frame his policies of racial discrimination and Nordic supremacy, his Lebensraum strategy of mass displacement and subjugation, and his genocidal mechanisms for terminating the unfit from who? His fellow leftists, progressives in the United States. This is the disgraceful legacy of the Democrat left. And the scholars and the media people who know this history are horrified by it. They know. If young people discover it, if it becomes widely known, and that's going to be our job, then the whole progressive Democrat project will be discredited. No longer will progressives be able to pose as part of the good and the true and the beautiful. On the contrary, they were exposed for their inspirational role in the Third Reich. Think, who inspired Adolf Hitler? American Democrats. Just let it soak in, man. Just let it soak in. You can find this, like I said, this is his new book, Dinesh D'Souza, The Big Lie, Exposing the Nazi Roots of the American Left. It's published by Regnery as of today. No, yesterday, sorry, yesterday. Let all that crap sink in for a minute. But I like my computer. It's a dinosaur. get it tuned up and running right, there'll be a problem. You can't deny those arguments, because all you have to do is look at the Democrats who were in power at that time. And that's who it was. That's who was calling the shots. About that for a minute. The Nazi Party. Look at, and those are the things that they stood for. Conquest, subjugation, racial purity, eugenics. Hitler was inspired by Margaret Sanger. Hitler's laws against the Jews were inspired by Jim Crow laws. Democrats, progressive. Some spin, they're going to come up with some when they just flat out denial. It may not even be spin, because these guys are so deeply enmeshed in this fantasy that progressive actually means moving forward. But what do we see today? Donald Trump makes, President Trump makes a trip to West Virginia, to the Boy Scout Jamboree, and speaks to America's future leaders, and it's put off like a Hitler youth rally. Did Barack Obama ever go? I'm not sure. He may have. I don't know. I can't remember. But then again, it's entirely possible. I think it just just depends on their schedule and whether or not attending something like that would be a priority for the president. I said, it may depend on the situation around the world at the time. So, but all those laws, all those discriminatory laws, all those hateful policies that inspired Adolf Hitler came from American Democrats. That's insane. But that's the truth. Now, here's the thing. I never really stopped to consider this. And I'm no stooge when it comes to math historical, especially American history, and especially this particular time frame. But this is a simple connect the dots. And Dinesh D'Souza has done it. Like I said at the beginning of the article, I defy anybody to try and correct this, to try and refute this. Now, the only difference, the only one deviation, and I'm going to buy this book. This is going to be a good one. I've got to check it out. The only deviation was that in their miscegenation laws, Jim Crow laws, if you had one drop of black blood, you had to have overwhelming evidence of at least three legitimate Jewish grandparents. Okay, and then you're the one, in some cases, the Nazis are actually nicer guys than the progressives. Regressives is what I was going to say. But yeah. Just another aside to the Boy Scout Jamboree I was referring to earlier. My niece, my brother's oldest daughter, who incidentally, such a thoughtful kid, scored me a brand new pair of United States military combat boots. I got them, of course, naturally, when the president was there, there was a military presence established for security purposes. But after the fact, and now it's all over with, my brother was telling me, because my niece worked and has for the last number of years, these Boy Scout Jamborees. She was in the operations and communications center trying, managing things. Now, like I said, there's about 70,000 people here, 7,000 people here. And I'm trying to think, 40,000 acres. The United States military had that entire perimeter covered. The United States Army had that entire perimeter covered with soldiers, to the point that if people needed help or there was an issue, there would be a military presence established within 2 to 3 minutes if someone needed help, if something bad happened. That's awesome. Jamboree, I guess as a gesture of goodwill, they had these surplus Army boots and they were giving them out to the kids who could have used them. And my niece scored me a pair. So MCAT, thank you. She's a senior at Marshall University and her plan is to go to law school. And we were exceedingly proud of her for many years. She was in charge of buying all my presents or selecting my presents. And she never missed. She never missed the first time. Drove my brother crazy when out of a clear blue sky she came home talking about how much she loved Elvis. And he has no clue where it came from. Nobody does. She just did. And those of you who know me, I'm a big fan of the King. And it was just kind of weird that happened. So it must be something genetic. We are close enough to the bottom of the hour, but not exactly. We're only 27 minutes down, so. You're going to have to check out this book. Now, again, you can find this article at Breitbart. Post it. If you're into posting stuff, go to Breitbart, find it. This is just the big lie in their search engine, and it'll probably pull it right up. People who were in power in the United States, and these things happening, these political lessons that Hitler thought he could implement successfully in establishing the Third Reich, and he did, came from Democrat progressives right here in America. Sterilization, euthanasia, Margaret Sanger, Adolf Hitler. Andy Jackson and the Seminole Trail of Tears, moving these Indians, killing the ones that didn't want to move and moving the ones out toward expansion to the reservations. Laban Brown. Same idea. That's what hit, and it was Democrats that were calling the shots when all these policies were put in place. Insane, absolutely insane. Well, okay, we're getting to the bottom of the hour, and we're going to go ahead and. No! Stop it! Thank you.
To negative, latch on to the affirmative. Don't mess with Mr. In Between. You got to spread joy up to the maximum. Bring gloom down to the minimum. Have faith or pandemonium, liable to walk upon the scene.
To illustrate his last remark, Jonah in the whale, Noah in the ark. What did they do just when everything looked so dark?
Man, they said we better accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative, latch on to the affirmative. Don't mess with Mr. In Between. No, do not mess with Mr. In Between. Do you hear them?
Chillin' Anna, you will hear about eliminating of the negative and an accent on a positive.
Gather round the children if you're willing and sit tight while I start reviewing the attitude of doing right.
You gotta accentuate the positive feeling, eliminate the negative, latch on to the affirmative. Don't mess with Mr. In Between.
Got to spread joy
up to the maximum.
Bring gloom
down
to the minimum.
Otherwise,
pandemonium liable to walk upon the scene.
To illustrate,
well, illustrate
my last remark.
You got the law.
Jonah
in the whale, Noah in the ark.
What did they say?
What did they say?
Say when everything looks so dark. Man, they said we better the positive, eliminate the negative, latch on to the affirmative. Don't mess with Mr. In Between. No, don't mess with Mr. In Between.
We'll be right back.
Hey, welcome back. A Conservative's Perspective. James Bostic here with you. And worried about my dog, man. Something's happening. She's got a little foam on her mouth, and I'm kind of worried. I put some flea treatment on her today. She might have got into it when she licked herself. I'm hoping that's all it is. She looks like she's okay. Anyway, good to be back here with you. Scott Ketcherson on the line from Expedition Red out there in America. Hey, Scott, how you doing?
Good, James, and I've got two members of Team Gram Zero with me, so how are you?
I'm doing terrific. I am doing great.
I've got Charlie and Will with me as well.
That's how you doing?
We're doing good. How are you?
Doing terrific. Trying to keep an eye on my pup here. I think she got into something, and I'm a little bit worried about her.
You want me just
anyway,
to lead while you...
I'm checking her out here.
You didn't put flea treatment on yourself, did you?
No. I thought we would start with her and then see what happens. If there wasn't any changes, then I would do it. But I put some on the back part of her body, and she might have been able to lick at it, and she probably shouldn't have done that.
No, that's probably a bad idea. I was just a little concerned there for a minute that you had put it on yourself and she had licked you, and that would have been a little concerning too.
No, like I said, we thought we'd start with her first and see where it went. So that might have been what it was, because I put some on her haunches there, but she could get to it, and it might be that was it. Anyway, did you guys hear what I was talking about in the first part of the show by any chance?
No, did not. I've been trying to get the final pack done on the bike, so a little preoccupied, and they've been busy all day as well.
Okay, well, why don't you go ahead and give us a situation report? What's happening and when is it starting? Tomorrow?
Okay, so I'll give you my update and then we'll kind of move it around here. So my first day of full on the road will be tomorrow biking, okay? I will tell you, this is the hardest packed job I've ever had to do in my life, to get everything down to two bags on the back and a front bag and a couple bags off the front fork. So, I mean, this is like, if you want to talk about tiny living, this is like ultra minimalist, tiny house, tiny living. I'm telling you right now. But, I've got everything just about done. I'll be finished here within a couple hours of this show. And then I'll put some pictures up on Instagram so people can see. But tomorrow will be the first full day, and then I'm going to head on up to White Sulphur Springs tomorrow. I'll be there probably on Thursday is what my anticipation is. And then from there, 1,400 miles to St. Louis approximately. So I'll be pedaling for about 2 months, and you'll get some creative discussions from me, I absolutely guarantee, James.
I can't wait, man. I can't wait.
Yeah.
How are you feeling? How are you feeling psychologically about this thing? You ready for it?
As good, probably as good as I've. I mean, super. I mean, really like super focused. Very excited about it, and it's pretty much feels same type of intensity and focus I had when I was in Uruzgan in Afghanistan. I mean, bad place, great things. So, not that we have a bad place in the country. I'm in red country, so that's good country. Not going through, but hey, you know, I'd like to sidestep here a little bit, and I want to kind of mention something I've been beating on for the last couple of days and get Will and Charlie's feedback on this, if you're good with that. Is that all right?
Yeah, by all means. Go right ahead. Let's see what's going on.
All right, so what I've been harping on all week is this ridiculous shit going on in Red State with all these people that have decided to spend their life in a bottle of opiates. And we've got literally now a crisis for the employers that are now bringing work back. And we're looking at your part of the country, up to 50% of the people that are applying for work are ineligible because they're using opiates or there are other hard drugs like cocaine or heroin. And that, you know, it just pisses me off to no degree. I mean, it's just like we fought and fought and fought to get jobs back. And then finally, when they're coming back, it's like, oh, sorry, I checked out of life and decided to bury my sorrows in a whole bunch of pills and drugs because I couldn't handle it. And I would really like to get a perspective. Millennials tend to be very, very pro experimental use of drugs. Silicon Valley is doing microdoses of LSD. You've got the big push to legalize marijuana across the country. And if it's okay with you, I'd like to ask the guys here their position and how they kind of see their generation's position on the drug issue. Are you good with that?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so go ahead, guys.
Yeah, so with the drug issue, I think that's how our generation also we separates ourselves from the millennials. We look at it completely different. We don't touch that stuff. A lot of our generation looks at it a lot differently. We look at it as bad. When we finally have someone in the White House that's bringing drugs back, I mean, bringing jobs back to this country, and then we have people who are just ruining it by not being eligible and all that stuff, I think it's ridiculous. And it's a lot of the millennials that are doing this.
So
I think that – oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I just think it's interesting because there is a distinct difference – in Generation Z versus millennials, and it's significant. I mean, they're grounded, they're focused, they have a good grasp on the differences between technology and the human space. There's less aptitude towards drug use. There's a higher propensity towards conservative views towards the nation. And I don't know what you're getting in your part of the country, but I mean, I'm seeing this here and I'm getting it from other people around the country, and it's probably the most encouraging thing I've seen in a long time. What's your thoughts, Jay?
Well, you know what? I'm inclined to agree. I'm inclined to agree with that on the GZs. I went out to, there's a local state park close to where I live that I used to spend a lot of time at. I'm out there today and was sitting at the lake looking around, and I ran into a young man who I had in high school a couple years ago. And he was with his girlfriend's fiance, and he has a maintenance-type job at a local resort that's owned by our governor, and his life is together, and he's doing well. He understands what the same thing that these guys are saying, because we talked a little bit about politics today when I ran into him out at the lake. And it was something, number one, he took the initiative of bringing up by speaking positively about President Trump. And from there, you know, I just kind of agreed, and he just started talking. And it was, I don't want to say it was a release, but he clearly felt at ease talking politics and looking at it the same way that I do, the conservatives do. And so, yeah, I mean, in my exposure to it, I see it more with the kids. And it's these guys' age. It's the seniors, that last semester, last semester of the junior year moving into seniors. And they're starting to have these ideas, and they're starting to think about them. And I overhear them sometimes, and I'm kind of heartened by what I hear, so I always take a moment to encourage them. So I think that overall in this area, yeah. That is the attitude, and these people, and you've seen it in every small town you've been to out there, Scott. These people are desperate for jobs, and desperation is a bad place to be at, because there are forces out there, those globalist types, who will exploit that. And how are they exploiting it? Well, they're exploiting it by the same ways that you've been talking about last couple of days. You're right.
Well, James, I don't like going down that pathway of saying people are exploited. People have a choice.
Well, I mean, there are people that are setting these conditions up economically.
Well,
is what
I hear
I'm talking
that,
about. I agree with what you're saying. I'm just saying they're creating conditions to where people who would be susceptible to that behavior would succumb to it.
Well, yeah, I accept it. We historically we've always had these challenges. I mean, it's not to the magnitude, maybe it's a little different right at the moment, but we've had these challenges, whether, you know, if you look at Lewis and Clark, I mean, that wasn't an easy expedition. There's no way the 21 guys were going to be able to do it easily. I mean, what would our country have looked like if every time we had a hardship, somebody put their head in some drugs? I'm getting super intolerant of it. And when I start to see the younger generation here, Team Ground Zero is a representative of that, and they're not an anomaly. And there's so much more focus on the continuity of the country, the pride in the presidency, the desire to work and innovate. I mean, it's amazing when you consider that there, when you look at this generation older than them and then older than the generation beyond that that are having so many drug problems. It's amazing. I think it's, and I'm going to actually throw this to Will. My thinking is that by looking ahead, they're able to see the examples of what they don't want to be. I don't know. Will, what's your thought?
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, we look at them and it gives us an example of what not to do, which is, I guess that's one positive you can pull out of millennials. They're a bad example. We can learn from them. And with the drug thing, I think I'll go lay a brick on the wall and build that thing up. That might stop some drugs from coming into the country. Maybe if that wall gets built, that might help out. But I think right now we need to focus on our generation and what we don't want to do that millennials are doing right now.
So it's so negative reinforcement, yeah.
Yeah, I mean that's some pretty solid words coming from a younger generation, and I think that the problem with the conservative side is that, in my opinion, and I've been talking about this for the last couple of days, is when we've allowed the welfare culture to come in and the welfare state to step in, and when you have those options available to you, and there isn't such a thing as a free fall and ending up necessarily on the street because you're going to get unemployment or you're going to get welfare, you're going to get food stamps, and you become dependent on the corporate model, and you've lost the individual initiative to start your own thing and do your own thing. I'm not oversimplifying. These are choices people are making, and they're not easy to be in those places at all, been there, but it's about what you got inside of you to pull you through.
I agree.
You know, and I'm hearing, like I heard the other day, it was like liberals use drugs as a stealth way of wiping out red state. And I started laughing. I'm like, I really didn't realize that liberals had black helicopters coming in at night, strapping people to chair and force feeding them opiates or shooting them up with heroin. You know, I mean, shit. Seriously. I mean, the decision is an individual's decision. And it's, you know, there's a lot of indicators. I'm to a certain degree, it's a simple discussion to have and a complex problem underneath the surface. But nonetheless, it always comes down to the individual. And when you see stats like we've been seeing this week with the unemployment numbers or the attempted employment numbers of the number of people that can't be employed because of drugs, I mean, that's outrageous. I mean, what was the argument all along? Did people really – I actually had someone online the other day say, yeah, I like to smoke pot every night, but, you know, unfortunately it does make it hard to get work. But I think it's unfair because they don't screen for alcohol. I'm like, okay, what do you want me to do, cry? Shed a tear for you because you started to start toking on a bong instead of having a couple shots of whiskey at night? I really don't care. You're not looking at me with any tears because that's the choice, right?
Right.
So, what were you? How's your dog? Is he doing better now, or is he going to have to break?
Yeah, I think she's all right. She's acting more like a paranoid man because we're like really, really close. She's just you know, and always want to make sure she's okay. But yeah, she's fine. You know, this would take us back, what your argument, what you're saying, the points that you're making, take us back to that thing of you're right, it is the individual's personal responsibility, intellectual honesty. You got to have it. And you have to be able to look at these things clearly and make those choices. You're right, it's an individual choice.
Well, I mean, the challenge here is that everybody wants individual freedoms, right?
Yeah.
But somehow they don't want the personal accountability or responsibility that goes with it. Can't have it both ways.
Right.
Well, you can if you're on the blue side. You can if you're a millennial and Zuckerberg's paying your paycheck. You know?
Well, we can't. And you're right, and it's a generational curse, and it's going to be a tough one to reset.
Yep. So here's some other news. I'm starting to ramp up. Will and Charlie are running as a team to take over the school's government. So they're going to be president, vice president, and they're going to build a whole team and take over their high school government. So we're going to back them with Team Ground Zero. We're going to back Team Ground Zero as an American brand. I think you need to endorse them too.
Totally. Guys, what are your plans? What platform?
Well, we just want to get some kids in there that will actually do some change, switch it up from the normal groups who they always – have a lot of promises and don't do much. So we're just going to try and get in there and actually get some stuff done for our school.
Well, I mean, like, yeah, okay, so give me a for example. I mean, like public service for the community or things within the school itself or what?
We do a lot of public services, like in our clubs and stuff. And our student government more works on the student body and kind of the policies and stuff like that. But we also work on a bunch of stuff for the community as well.
Okay, cool. So how are you gonna promote the agenda?
We'll probably just start running around the school. We might use Instagram a little bit to get out there, and probably just the usual campaigning.
And of course, the American brand is gonna beat the hell out of it on Facebook, YouTube.
School for America, ACP.
Right, and you're gonna talk about it. So that's going to give him a national presence, and then maybe we can get Donald Jr. to jump in there just one time and say, that's a good idea. These guys, I mean, heck, they're wearing Make America Great shirts now, so that would be pretty cool, don't you think?
Yeah, that would get him wagging for sure.
I think this is the example we need to promote, because proud of our president, good conservative values, good solid positions here going forward for America. Get involved.
Clean cut American kids, man. Clean cut Americans. I'm not going to say kids. I'm not patronizing. I'm, you know, clean cut young people.
Exactly. And we need this example. I mean, we need to be like poster children, poster kids, poster Americans. And get them on milk bottles everywhere. How's that? This isn't long. Children, this is bringing America back again. Every time you get a box of Cheerios, you look on the back and go, that's Will. That's Charlie. We're breaking America great. We might have to do our own survey.
Go ahead, guy.
What's that?
Go ahead, man.
No, I said we might have to do our own cereal line. Get our own cereal out there with their pictures on it. Make America Great Again cereal. That might be a good idea, don't you think?
Gradies. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, I think we need a whole food line.
This is good. You know what? We can make it, seriously, though, we can make a big deal out of this. We can really ramp this up, and I think we should. And the thing that, I can't remember with Charlie or Will, it's on Instagram.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if our – and this is honest truth, because – I don't work with those kind of kids. I don't work with but I don't know if that's even occurred. I mean, I see posters in the hallways when it comes time to elect, the class officers. But that's, man, you guys, that's pretty slick. That's pretty slick. I'm going to pass that along. Because I really honestly don't know if our kids pursue it from that venue. I don't know if they just, you know, because this is how it's been done since I was in school in 1976. That's how I've always done it. But that's interesting. I'm going to pass that on.
We got to get this thing built up. Just need to make this local to national campaign, highlight what they're doing, get other Gen Z folks to follow, make sure that in their platform we have some good zingers for the millennials that pisses them off, because that's always a good thing. And I think this is it, don't you think?
Well, we're missing a hell of a chance if it's not. And this is the thing. These guys, what these guys are doing can be done in every small town across the country, all across Red State America, every small town. If those cats can do it on Instagram, then kids I know out here at Chase Spring High School can do it on Instagram. And I can direct the, you know, the right thinking ones to do just that. That just hit me. Again, you know, it took me a while to digest it, but while we were talking and I was thinking, that's slick, fellas. That's a good move.
Hey, did I understand today's your birthday?
Yeah, it is. It's my birthday.
And that makes you a very old man or not so very old man?
Well, if I'm middle-aged, I'm going to live a long damn time. Today's my 55th birthday. I am 55 today. A ruggedly handsome 55 years old.
You're older than me. That's great. I'm the young guy in the room. You're old man. That's fantastic.
Okay, man, listen, we got about 90 seconds left. Ladies and gentlemen, our friend Scott Kesterson and Will and Charlie from Team Ground Zero, awesome cats all, and it always tickles me to have you boys on and just burn up 30 minutes like nothing. We got to go. We're out of time. Again, you can catch Scott Kesterson, theamericanbrand.org, Expedition Red. He's getting ready to start he's starting a serious part of his trek, the second leg of his journey, pedaling and paddling. We are down to 60 seconds. Thank you, guys. ACP can be heard Tuesdays and Thursdays here live on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. And again, Scott, you're going to be with us on Thursday, right?
Absolutely. I look forward to talking to you, James. Thank you.
Okay. He's going to be here on Thursday. I got some things I want to run by you that I read today. You can check it out, too, and give me some feedback on it in the meantime. It's on Breitbart, Dinesh D'Souza, and it's an excerpt from his book, The Big Lie. And I want you to check that out. And see what you think. We'll talk about that on Thursday. This is James Bostic, ACP, a conservative perspective here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. Scott, be safe out there. We'll talk to you on Thursday.
All right. Thanks, James.
All right, folks, that's about all the time we got. I'm going to have to hit the stop button right about now. 10 seconds. You guys take good care. We'll see you see you Thursday, taking a look at this as we do through a conservative perspective. Take care. See you then.